had an idea just for fun. Let's see a show of hands of all you are here this morning that grew up in First Baptist Church of Lexington. I'll bet we have at least 20 or 25 people here. Something
about here, back here. Four, five, or six in the choir.
I think that's fantastic. I grew up in this church. And I'll have to say I had some wonderful Sunday school teachers who taught me the love of Jesus Christ. And at the age of 9, I accepted him as my Savior. And I was baptized in the old Baptist church on South Main Street by Dr. Roy Clifford. Seems like when I was growing up that we were in church about all the time. And our little family of three, if the doors were open, and so most of you know this, we were there. The services on Sunday morning, I did pretty well with those. And we'd get home and we'd have a Sunday afternoon. But then I was back in church on Sunday evening for Sunday evening worship service and another sermon by Dr. Clifford. And I managed that pretty well. But all too soon, it was Wednesday, and it was back to church again for a Wednesday night prayer meeting and another serious sermon. Well, I have to tell you, my tolerance for sermons and sitting still in church had pretty well maxed out by Wednesday night, but we were there. Well, as I sat in the pew, I'm sure my behavior reflected my state of mind. And as I squirmed and wiggled around, and Mother had had enough of it, I think she reached over and she would put her arm around me very lovingly. She'd pull me to her, and then she, with a sweet smile on her face, she would whisper in my ear, "When we get home, you're going to get it." It's true. And I might add that she was really good at keeping her word. And this was a long time before the punishment of time out had been invented. Well, things went wrong pretty well until BTU age came along. And if you think about this training union, doesn't that just sort of have a sound of some type of a correctional program? You know, there's... back in the day when I was coming along, there was Jackson Training Camp somewhere here in North Carolina. That's where they sent boys who had gone astray. They'd gotten afoul with the law. And they were too young to be sent to jail, so they sent them to Jackson Training Camp. Well, that's kind of how I viewed BTU. And there was that fateful Sunday evening. I was in high school by now and driving, and I was between home and church, and I had this brilliant thought. I thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool, you know, this was the 50s, wouldn't it be cool just to hang out uptown and cruise Main Street, which was the main activity in the 50s that we did, and, you know, and not go. And I thought, you know, that's a great idea, and that's what I did. Well, that worked pretty well until the next Sunday, and he didn't Mother see in church, but the training union director. And what did the training union director say? But we sure did miss her being training union last Sunday. And I could hear Mother say, "You did?" Well, there was a little less traffic on Main Street for quite a while after that. Well, fast forward about 50-plus years, and I stand up here at age 73 and thinking, my word, how in the world, what happened? I've been retired now for going on 6 years, and I think about how in the world things have gotten, how it's been that long and just in short at the same time. And even though I've been retired, people still come up to me very often. They say, "Well, what do you think of retirement?" And my ready response is, "Well, what's not to like? I like retirement." And And then after a little more serious reflection, I think I have a little better answer for you today as far as what do I like about retirement. And that answer is it's the gift of time. And I have three examples of that I'd like to share with you. The first thing that the extra time means to me is that I can have quality time with the Lord in the mornings. When I was working, I guess by the time, and maybe some of you can identify with this, but by the time your feet hit the floor, you're already in work mood in your mind. And I would try to have a decent quiet time, but honestly, what was going on in my mind was what was ahead of me in the day and what the schedule was going to be. And when I'd attempt to pray, I'd realize I was thinking about something else. So it was pretty poor effort. But now I do have that opportunity, and with a clarity and an uncluttered mind, I can communicate with the Lord, and as I do my devotions and reading Scripture and praying, it's been a positive thing and a great blessing for me. The second thing that the extra time gives us is the time to look around and see who is around us that's in need, and to exercise these spiritual gifts that we read about in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians that we've all been instilled with. And it's kind of like preaching to the choir. Almost everybody in here is already doing this. There's so many programs that's out there in the community that helps and assists people. And our church has so many different ways that you participate on a daily or a weekly basis. And so there's not a lot that I can add to that. I kind of enjoy one-on-one, so visitation has been a good fit for me, and I've enjoyed filling in some of the requests for Faith Health. And every time I've done that, it's been a blessing. I've received a blessing from that. I want to give you one example about witnessing where you are. I want to talk a little bit about Melvin Young. Melvin's really had a difficult time this winter. He's been sick a couple of times. He's had two extended stays out at Abbots Creek facility getting rehab. And on one of those stays out there, I went out to see Melvin. And we were talking there in his room. And he says, you know, Herb, I could sit here and look at these walls and feel sorry for myself and just have a big old pity party because I'm here and not at home. But he says, I go up and down these halls and I see these poor, sad, lonely, and sick people, and I want to reach out. What I want to do is just to go in, talk to them, pray with them, and pray for them. And that's what he did. And also to collect some information for a diary for his emails that he sends out. And so I can't tell you, that was a real blessing to me, that visit was. So I called up Melvin Friday, and I told him I might mention him and what I was going to say today. And Melvin said, well, I think that'd be all right. He says, I'll probably listen in, so just to see what you're going to say. I said, well, that's fine. And I said, I want to get the facts, one thing straight. I do want you to tell me how old you are. And this is what Melvin said. He says, I'm 97. I'll be 98 in July. Isn't that wonderful? And Melvin, I want to say today to you, that is wonderful. And we love you for the strong Christian witness that you present in your life. And I understand that you're still dealing with some difficult health issues and that you're pretty uncomfortable right now, but we're going to pray for you. And we love you. Third way is this: everybody's pretty much up on this one. You have time to take care of yourself, for heaven's sake. We've had a lot of emphasis on health, particularly exercise. Brenda Barton over here, she has volunteered to lead a walking group. We get a lot of information through Faith Health. Exercise benefits us in so many ways. There's a lot of instances where people have been able to come off or reduce medications that they were taking because of diseases such as high blood pressure, diabetes, or whatever. Very, very important there's some people that are not able to get out and walk. Dr. Twombly, our cardiologist, he recommends 30 minutes of aerobic exercise, which most people interpret as walking, 5 times a day for your cardiac health. If you're not able to do that, and a lot of people are limited in their physical abilities, and I'd like to invite you to go across the street to our neighbor over here, the YMCA. They have programs that are designed specifically for people that have less physical ability. And you can still get a workout whether you're able to get out there and walk or not. I had an incident with a physician back in the early 70s that sounds kind of dramatic, but it really did change my life. I went to see Dr. Don Volkmer for a physical. And so after the physical, I was healthy, but he was noting my family history, and he said, "I see here that your dad had a near-fatal heart attack at 52. I said, "Yes, that's right." He said, He says, "You know, you may have some bad genes floating around in there. So genetics is one thing you can't do anything about, but here's what I would suggest." He says, "If I were you, I would try to live a preventive lifestyle as far as diet and exercise goes." And then he says, "And when you have your heart attack, you'll probably have a better chance of surviving it." I tell you what, that'll get your attention. Okay, I'm going to leave you with two verses of Scripture from Philippians that everybody's familiar with. Heard it 100 million times. But it's something I think we can read or requote every single day that applies to us. "Do not be anxious for anything." That bears repeating. "Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen.
Good morning. Good to see everybody. It was late when you got out last Sunday. It's going to be later today because Ray told me I had an hour. Herb went overtime. So to continue on last week's honor of Ray, I got a little story that I need to tell you. Ray had been here about a year or maybe a little longer, and he was running for president of the North Carolina Baptist Association. So we get on the bus, a lot of us, and I remember Vernon Williams was with us, and we go around to the churches politicking for Ray. So we go back to that church that we stole him from, and everybody had got off the bus and gone inside, and all of a sudden, Ray and I were going toward the church, and this little old lady comes running up, and she says, "You stole our minister." Said, "What did you come after now?" I said, "We brought him back." Ray said he had never seen no one think that fast on their feet. It talked about Jack this morning, Jack Michael. I went to see Jack on his 90, I can't remember at my age if it was his 93rd or his 94th birthday. Sitting in his bedroom right over here, Jack made the statement to me, "I'm 93 or 94, whichever one it was, and I have never spent the night in the hospital." I said, "Jack, that is amazing. There's not many people 40 years old that can make that statement." And I think it is. Jack told me he was blessed, and I have been blessed all of my life. I've gone through some times. I left home at the tender young age of 18. My last year of my childhood was not the best in the world. That was during what they call the Korean conflict. I was just before getting drafted, and I didn't want to sleep in a foxhole. So I joined the Navy. I was sent to San Diego. The furthest I had ever been away from home was Myrtle Beach, so you can imagine what a shock it was to this 19-year-old kid. When I got out there, one of the first people that I met was a Gideon. He gave me this New Testament. That New Testament was with me for 4 years. And I had to rely on it a lot of times in those 4 years. But God seen through me, through it with me. He blessed me. And 4 years later, I got out. In fact, I was looking at my discharge the other day. Even though I had 8 years of obligation, I had 4 years of active duty. And on my discharge, it said 3 years, 11 months, and 29 days. Back then, they were releasing some of them a little early, but I didn't get released early. I had to spend my entire 4 years in the Navy. Then I was attached to a submarine squadron in Charleston, South Carolina. But I did get through it, thanks be to God, and He blessed me. The next year, I got out in 57. The next year in 56, I got out in 56. And the next year in May of 57, Barbara and I walked down the aisle in the chapel next door. And Dr. Roy Clifford married us. Barbara was already a member of this church, and I was not. It took me some time to... We were blessed by having two boys. God blessed us. And I have been blessed to have a loving wife, two loving boys, a loving church. And in 1973, I joined this church. Dr. Hope Coon baptized me in this baptistry. In 1975, I was ordained in this church. This has been my church, and God has blessed me through all of this to have a blessed, loving church, a blessed, loving family. And most of all, He has been with me every step I've taken, and I thank God for this. Thank you.